34 years ago.
Wow.
Okay, y'all. I've been watching this shit for 34 years, so mommy knows what she's talking about. First of all, the quarter maze weren't even on the canvas as a major story back in the days when I first watched it. It was about the Webbers and the Hardys.
Mm-hmm.
Clock it. It's not... When people say, let's go back to the roots. Well, the roots aren't the quarter maze. The roots are the Webbers and the Hardys, first of all.
There you go.
That's number one. Number two... How many times are we supposed to hear about Edward knocking some bitch up? They ran out of stories. It's your morning jolt here on Sirius XM Al Q. And let's see. Luke, are you there?
I'm here.
Jamie?
Hey.
We're going to get Reagan during the song because my phone is giving me fits. And, of course, here in New York, Jillian.
Hello, doll.
How are you, darling?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. So it is three quarters of the cast of Daytime Confidential and Pop Confidential. You need these folks in your life if you don't already have them. You absolutely need them in your life. Okay, so there's DaytimeConfidential.com, PopConfidential.com. They are both powered by ZapToIt.com, which is a great, great new development in the life of these two websites. And they have accompanying podcasts, and that's how I found them. You can either download the cast through the website, or you can get them through iTunes, which is how I get mine. And they're crazy, they're smart, they're intense and passionate, and I just have the greatest affection for all four of them. And like I said, we're going to get Reagan on the phone when the next song starts because my phone's giving me fits here. But we're going to talk this hour for the remaining hour about daytime. And then in our next hour, we're going to dig into all things pop culture. So, all right, let's dig into it. It's turning into a good fourth quarter for daytime drama, isn't
it? Yeah.
Yep.
It's really good. I've been enjoying them all.
We'll talk about the quality of the shows in a moment. But Jamie,
yes,
we're seeing shows get renewed.
I know. Who'd have thunk it?
I'm very excited about that.
I am too. It means we won't have to change the name of the site to Talk Show Confidential.
So for folks that, who don't know, because they're getting their information right now from us here, which shows have gotten picked up and for how long?
Okay, Days of Our Lives has been renewed for 2 years with an option for a third year if ratings hold up. YNR, The Young and the Restless, has been renewed for 3 years. And its sister soap, The Bold and the Beautiful, has been renewed for two. And prior to that, there was this whole... smokescreen that basically came out about One Life to Live. They renewed the creatives' contracts, which ABC owns their soap, so they could still be canceled at any time, but it was a show of good faith that, okay, they're not planning to X them out anytime soon. But, you know, so basically we have four soaps with some form of a commitment to the future.
That's really good. And the thing is, everybody knows if you hear us talk about soaps here when we have the cast of Daytime Confidential in studio and on the phone, that I have not been the biggest fan of One Life to Live in recent times.
You're putting it very nicely.
And I'm still not 100% sold, but I am enjoying the show more, and I don't want to see any of these shows go away unless they're bloodletting and putting my other shows in danger.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think the odds are that, I mean, it is a show of good faith that One Life to Live is going to get some sort of pickup. When would we hear about that?
Well, that's the thing, you know, with that way that was announced, again, ABC owns their soaps, so they don't do renewals. They don't really do renewals for those shows. They can, you know, they own, the other shows are client soaps. Leslie Moonves struck panic in the industry when he basically made that, created that term, but, you know, the Young and the Restless is owned by Sony, the Bell family, and a small percentage by Ken Corday. So they have to be, you know, they're basically, they have to go in for negotiations for renewal. Bold and the Beautiful is owned by the Bells, and then Days is owned by Corday and Sony. So they have to be, you know, they have to come up with new licensing agreements every couple of years.
Okay.
So that's what these things are. But with the ABC soaps, they own them all outright. They own all three soaps outright. So they have the, you know, the option to do whatever they want at any time. But I think what they are saying is that they are committed to One Life to Live. We know they're committed to General Hospital. It's not going anywhere. I hear All My Children could be in trouble, you know, not to send panic out there, but All My Children is consistently running over budget, and they can't get the writer situation figured out. I heard from an insider that Brian Franz, basically, that's the president of ABC Daytime, really regrets not getting the writer situation under control at All My Children years ago. And, you know, the writers that they brought in who were writers from the canceled soap Guiding Light, because, you know, that makes so much sense to hire people that just helped tank a soap that's already off the air, you know, to save your soap that you just spent millions of dollars to move to the West Coast. But, yeah, it's not working out. So they're looking for new writers again. I'm hearing that now, you know.
Right.
Today there'll be a "no, we're not" announcement in the soap mags, but that's what I'm hearing.
That's the way it goes. So, Luke Kerr, does this, from your point of view, change the way stories are going to be told now? Because were we seeing panic-driven writing and storytelling on the shows when the shows didn't know if they were going to live or die?
I don't necessarily think that was the case for B&B and Y&R. I would hope that it means that things will fall into place for Days, because Days has been a little bit sketchy this year.
Mm.
So I'm hoping that this will give them an opportunity to sit down and focus on fixing a few things, because Days could use it.
Yeah, it really can, because I love Days of Our Lives, and I even love when they do outrageous things, but it hasn't been hitting it for a while, has it?
No, it's just like, sleepwalking, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Well, it's been a contradiction every day, 5 days a week. You have Ken Corday, the owner, giving interviews about what a terrible time, and writing in his memoir about how, he just didn't like James Riley, you know, the writer that basically took it to the top in the 90s. Yet the current regime is basically trotting out Riley's best hits, you know, in a poor man's version. I mean, Ken is saying how bad Riley's legacy was for the show and how it almost ruined it, yet you're doing retreads of Buried Alive, and you have a heroine becoming a psychopath because of drugs. I mean, that's what Riley did best. I mean, and them trying to mimic it has wrecked the show in terms of creativity in the last part of the, you know, the first part of the year. Days was pretty good, but yeah, the last 6 months have been awful, and
yeah,
it's been trying to mimic what he did best. And yet, you know, you're talking out of two sides of your mouth. You're talking out of your asshole, as my folks would say. Would be saying, "Oh, we didn't like Riley. He was bad." But you know, now you're doing these Riley-esque stories,
and you know, saying that, you know, oh, you know, younger viewers want to see younger viewers, but then you do an interview saying, "Well, you know, younger viewers don't necessarily want to see younger viewers. They want to see the older viewers." And I'm just like, ain't we been saying that? Haven't we been saying that?
So, like, is he just detoxing, or like, what's going on with him? Because he does talk out of his ass, but he also turns on a dime. Ken Corday, I'll never forgive him for what he did to Deirdre Hall, and that's the
end. Oh, you sound like some people.
Don't
I won't
know.
Name names.
Who?
Mamie Middens. You sound just like somebody.
Don't even. How dare they hurt my Marlena?
Oh, who?
How dare they? Okay, so I'm talking to Jillian Bowe, Jamie Gittins, and Luke Kerr from Daytime and Pop Confidential. And I want to hear which show is really hitting it for you right now. Jillian.
I don't want to jinx it. Y&R starting to really, you know, get back to what, you know, get get really good.
Almost luring me in.
Yeah.
Because I've never been a YNR fan. And I started watching because I really wanted to see Sean Kanan come back. And I've been loving. We're not getting enough of it anymore. But
I know.
I was loving the Deacon and Nikki character.
Dicky,
stop, baby. Give me some Dicky.
And make
that Dicky sloppy. You know what I'm talking about? Come on, y'all.
Like, yeah.
Good. Just juicy.
YNR. B&B has really, you know, turned it around. B&B has really turned it around. It really shocked me how it's pulling me in.
Yeah.
And GH, you know, GH is finally giving us what we want to see. And that is the baddest bitch, Brenda, with the love of her life, Sonny, instead of this
Falcon schmalkin. No,
crap.
But that day, come on, Jamie. I know you know Vanessa Marcil Garbanzo Bean. We love her. that first date that Brenda had with Sonny. Oh, did you wet your panties?
Oh, it was amazing. It's like, why did we have to go through all this shot jod and tomfoolery
and
the Balkan and Brad Pitt and Angelina and the A-head kids to get to this? It's like, this is what we wanted, Guza. Bob Guza, for your fans who don't know, that's the head writer. Us soap fans, we know all these writers, like, you know, like we know their social security number, the way we spout it off.
But don't you think that Bob Guza was really trying to work out his, I want to write an epic movie for my favorite actor moment?
Oh, yes.
And it just didn't work.
It was like,
it worked more for me than it worked for anybody else. I hung in there.
The last 10 years. It's like, I love Guza when he's good. But Guza just, I don't know, he sometimes comes off as this failed guy who never made it in film writing, screenwriting, so he never got his chance to be Scorsese, so he's just going to do it on daytime, and that doesn't always work when your CGI budget makes it look like a bad, you know, Atari video game, and it's like, just stop and write a soap opera. We just want people in a room going, how dare you, you bitch, and slapping each other. That's all we want, you know.
Which is what we're getting from One Life to Live.
Oh, One Life to Live.
Exactly. One Life to Live has made a creative comeback in the last few months.
It has been good, but you know, Luke, I was thinking about you because you know what sucked me in?
I'm afraid to ask.
Well, that too, but I've been really enjoying this. There's one lone story on All My Children that I am all over. The death of Zach.
No, that's All My Children.
Was that?
Yeah.
That's All My Children.
Yeah, did I say?
Yeah, he said All My Children.
I said All My Children.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, but
okay,
I was thinking of you because you're in All My Children.
Cheerleader.
You have kind of cheered when they didn't deserve it in the past, Luke. So.
Well, see, Zach has never been my favorite character. So,
me neither.
And Zendel, I respect Zendel because they do have chemistry and they have a very large fan base.
Yeah.
I am not shedding a tear at the death of Zach at all.
Oh my God, we might be seeing Emmy for Alyssa Minchu as Kendall because her scenes have been incredible. But
they have been amazing.
And you know what I loved? I loved when they teased that he might not be dead after all, and he was. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I don't believe that he's dead. I don't believe it at all.
You don't believe it at all?
He dies in soaps. I mean, shoot.
Considering the fact that David Hayward died in September and was alive in November, I don't believe that Zach is dead. Zach is too popular of a character to remain dead for long.
I know, but, you know, why do they keep anchoring the Kendall character with like, 25 kids? How many kids does Kendall have now?
I've lost count.
17, I guess.
All these kids, and who's learning disabled? Who can't hear? Whatever. And then then they anchor her with this with an actor who doesn't want to be on the show. And it's like, so what, you know? Do you want her to quit?
You know, it's a situation where when it's all said and done and the history books cover this phase in soaps, there has to be a chapter of, was this move to L.A. worth it? Like I said, the show's still running over budget. You lost not only Torsten, you know, I think Torsten would have stayed on that show till the cows came home if it would have stayed in New York where it belonged.
Yeah.
And you know, and I know that it's expensive to you know, because they lost the tax breaks there. But come on, One Life to Live comes in under budget. It's fire Julie Hannon Carruthers, the executive producer, who is still, you know, having them do 5 and 6 takes and get somebody in there who can get them in and get them out, like these other showrunners who have adapted to the new realities of daytime, and then maybe they could have stayed where their actors were. You know, we've lost David Canary, Torsten Kay. We lost Ma and Paul Martin, which they weren't really driving story, but you know, when
we finally got Brooke on, and only for her to usher Adam out. Yeah,
moving it to L.A. has not been worth it, so that they could get Rebecca Budig back or whatever the point was to this, because it's still over budget and you're losing all your leading men. And Torsten Kay, I'm not a big fan of Zach either, but Torsten Kay is a great actor, and they are their number one super couple. So this is just stupid. They should have flew Andrea Evans, however long her return was to One Life to Live a couple of years back. They flew her back and forth. That was not worth it, in my opinion, because, yes, she might have been great on that show back when Reagan was in office, but it was not cost effective for now. But Torsten Kay, I would pay his frequent flyer miles to keep him on the show, to keep the 5 fans that watch for her. I know there's more, but you know, you just can't afford to lose any fans, and they're already, we're going to put Kendall with the new Latino doctor, and you know, the Zendo fans are all pissed off, and it's just,
well, why does she even have to be in a relationship? I mean, Luke, can't we just have an heroine who is living life as a strong woman?
Oh, I love her. There's more than a few characters I'd like to see that happen on multiple soaps. As much as I'm liking Sharon and Adam on Y&R, I'd love her to be a strong, independent woman, and Brooke the same way. So,
but do we really
want
to see... Soaps are all about relationships. You're dead if you're not in a couple.
But we need a minute.
Saying, because I've said that to him before. I've said that on the podcast. Sharon needs a break from all the pee-pee that she's been getting, all the pita-wita that she's been getting. She needs to air it out. She needs to just chill.
She does.
She needs to
ice that thing.
Oh, God.
She got pig knuckle for pussy right now.
Okay,
come on.
She needs, like, I get what Luke's saying. You need to just lay low. She needs to lay low and get her head together before she jumps into a relationship.
Yeah, come on. A little bit of reality. I like the soaps to be, you know, a little melodramatic too. But come on, dude. He just died, and she's already, like, you know, doing the Kama Sutra with somebody. Was she going to give him anal so that, you know, her pussy's platinum for Zach? I mean, what?
Grief sex. Don't you know they all need grief sex?
You know?
The problem with grief sex is that it usually ends up in a baby. And we don't need Kendall to have another
one. Oh, my God. Seriously, between Kendall and Sammy on Days, it's like they cough and a baby falls out.
Yes. Yes.
They got no grip up in that piece anymore.
Them and Sonny. Sonny, look at you and you get pregnant, too. Like,
can I just say, I don't think Sonny's hot. Sonny and General Hospital. We're so hopping here, y'all. Keep up. But
I think he's still got
he's
it.
He's held up well.
Yeah.
He's held up well, but
they're hot together.
They're hot together, but my jeans don't get tight watching them.
He used to be just like scream worthy every time he came on, but I haven't really seen that until Vanessa came back. Now it's like the combination of them just, you know, makes your nether regions perk up a little bit. But
are you touching yourself right now, Jamie?
I might be.
You might be. See? We're going to continue chatting with the folks of Daytime and Pop Confidential. We're going to see if we can get Reagan on the phone. So where y'all going? You ain't going nowhere.
This is your Morning Jolt with Larry Flynn. Q, Sirius 109, XM98.
It's your Morning Jolt here on Sirius XM Al Q. I'm Larry Flick, and we are spending time today with the cast of Pop Confidential and Daytime Confidential. Go to popconfidential.com, daytimeconfidential.com. Check these really great, essential websites out. Bookmark them. Go to them daily. They're updated frequently. They're both powered by zaptoit.com, which is also a really good site. And the podcasts are something to really, really, really enjoy, because you're hearing 4 really good friends just do it. They're laughing, they're talking, they're passionate. And, you know, Jillian and I were talking during the song. It's like people don't always get that your closest friend is the person you bust on the hardest.
Exactly. I mean, that's just us. You know, my mom tells people, she's like, she has a dry sense of humor. If you don't get it, you're not going to get it. And she'll really snap on you, you know? That's just how we are.
You can't come that hard for someone you don't like because it's not safe. That's what I say. So I love you guys. And so we have Jillian Bowe in New York. We have Luke Kerr from Nebraska. We have Jamie Giddens from Atlanta. And we now finally have Reagan Salura from Cleveland. Reagan, darling, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. We were having some phone troubles, but we got it all sorted out. So our toll-free number here is 866-305-6887. We've been talking daytime this hour. We'll get into pop culture in our next hour. And Tom in Buffalo has been holding. He has got something very important to say to y'all.
Uh-oh.
What is it, Tom?
What? I don't know what it's that important. I just had to call in about the disaster of General Hospital.
Go ahead.
And how bad it's become over the decade with Bob Guza and Phelps. It's unwatchable.
You don't like anything about it? I'm not mad at it.
Not a thing. So, no, it's become a one-trick pony with Sonny and Jason. It's one-dimensional. There's no families on the show. There's no relationships on the show. There's no history on the show. It's done. They killed it.
So anybody want to jump in here? Jillian?
I don't, you know, Tom, you're entitled to your opinion there. I mean, at one point, I would have agreed with you and be like, okay, enough. It's the Sonny and Jason hour, but it's starting to turn itself back around. You know, when you say it's the one-trick pony, they focus on the hospital. You see Robin and the other doctors and the drama that's going on in the hospital.
Yeah.
You see her dealing with her relationship.
I think circa 2005-6, when I would first start seeing this type of complaint,
right,
I would definitely, even though I'm a mob fan, I would say it was warranted. But I think in the last 3 to 4 years, they've taken great strides with Scrubs and so many of the other characters that are like comical or old school, like Carolyn Hennessy's character, that they've tried to address. Until the day Guza leaves the show, it's going to be the mob show. I mean, that is just a given. But I always preface this with having to watch all of the soaps on the air. General Hospital is the only soap on the air, and maybe that to a true GH fan, if you're just a GH fan and you don't watch the others, I can see why this wouldn't be a good barometer. But GH consistently has the best dialogue and the best acting, even when I'm not engaged in the overall story. It's the most that seems like they don't think I'm stupid. I don't know. And that, having to watch all of them, that gives me comfort. So that's probably why I cut them a lot of slack. But, yeah, I miss the Quartermains. I wish there were more stories about the hospital, but, I mean...
But can I say something? I agree with you, but... And I've been watching General Hospital longer than I think all of you because I'm older than you. I've started watching it the summer I broke my foot when I was 13. That was, oh, good Lord.
97.
That was, no, yeah, right. Let's see. It was like 34 years ago.
Wow.
Okay, y'all. I've been watching this shit for 34 years, so mommy knows what she's talking about. There are so many. First of all, the Quartermains weren't even on the canvas as a major story back in the days when I first watched it. It was about the Webbers and the Hardys.
Mm-hmm.
Clock it. It's not. When people say, let's go back to the roots, well, the roots aren't the Quartermains. The roots are the Webbers and the Hardys, first of all.
There you go.
That's number one. Number two. How many times are we supposed to hear about Edward knocking some bitch up? They ran out of stories.
Oh, by that definition, though, how many times do we have to hear that Sonny's knocked someone up?
Because I'm not cutting for Sonny to get to your
jargon. Well,
Sonny
started in 92. Edward started in, what, 80? I mean, it is a situation where... And I don't feel, you know, like I said, I wish they would rebuild the Qs. I would rather see the new generation of the Qs. Wally Kurth is, you know, not doing anything at Days. I'd love for them to have Ned and Lois and his little brother and all of them, you know, still in that mansion. But the thing of it is, Gloria Monty created them, and she tried to write them out herself during her second stint. But with Guza, I mean, what we see, he doesn't like them. He can say he does, but my God, he killed off 6 or 7 of them, And I'm coming down. I'm in this place now with Soapdom where I'm like, don't do me any favors. Like with Maria Bell, the writer of YNR, if she doesn't want to write for black people, don't do me any favors. And with Guza, I would hate to see him forced to write a Quatermain story and then it suck.
Well, right.
Because he isn't passionate about those characters. I'd rather see him focus on giving good story where he can. And I think the Scrub story with Lisa has really turned out to be a good old-fashioned general hospital story.
It's regenerated the hospital and general hospital,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
it's back in the hospital.
It's about three doctors, you know, and I don't know. It DH definitely isn't perfect, but, I mean, tune in to YNR when there are doppelgangers racing through the streets and then get back to me. I mean, I just feel like DH is
honestly
more consistent.
Even during the worst moments of the Brenda return, General Hospital is better than all of the other five soaps combined. That's me. Reagan,
I call it the staple. That's what I call it. Even when I am mad at it, it's still the staple soap to go back to.
Yeah.
It's what you hang on to because it's always going to get back to quality.
So yeah, as much as we love One Life to Live at times, you're never going to see a story on GH that has Sam McCall tied up by her father and about to be raped by him or something just out of the, you know, just crazy that makes you go, GH is pretty much the Seroquel of soaps. It keeps you on an even keel, you know, and you're not going to have these amazing, well, and, you know, Tom disagrees because he actually does have amazing hate for it, but with us, it doesn't inspire that.
No, I think it's the hell,
you know.
So, Reagan, we haven't heard what you're thinking of the shows. What show's really working for you these days?
I am really in love with One Life to Live right now. I think it's just the one show that's giving great soap right now. Like I said, GH is my staple. I'm not hating All My Children as much as I was in past appearances. I still think it has ways to go, but I'm just not hating on it as much as I have been. It's improved. I have been liking some of the stories. I'm not liking Ryan and Greenlee, but I am liking some of it.
I'm a little
mad at getting rid of Damon, but
so let's talk about what you just said. Cameron Matheson is not liking his story right now. Now, usually when an actor starts to speak out, it's the death knell. But is Cameron Matheson Teflon because he's so popular?
Teflon, yeah. I mean, he's saying what we've all said. Well, he isn't saying it like how he said it. He said it diplomatic, but he's basically saying, look here, this whole Force and Ryan and Greenlee is not working, you know? He's trying to be diplomatic, but he's also trying to be real with it.
Mm.
And no, be real with it, Cameron. It's not working. Don't force feed us that. I didn't like it the first time. I didn't like it the second time. Third, fourth, fifth, I did not like it.
So now, Luke, we know that you love yourself some Rebecca Buddick and Greenlee. In your perfect world, who would she be matched with since we're supposed to have everybody on Noah's Ark here?
No, Josh Duhamel returning.
Oh, my great
Leo.
That ain't happening.
That
ain't
not going to happen.
It could be happening because his movie career is about to be shot. What?
In my perfect world. In my perfect world, Leo.
And in Luke land.
Yes.
Well, if he keeps on getting kicked off them planes for showing out, you might get your wish.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Because, you know, Fergie's not going to pay for everything, even though she could.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I liked Greenlee with David Hayward.
I did too. I actually did too.
I did.
You did too, Regan?
Yes.
I didn't.
Me either. Say
it,
honey.
It's nasty.
Yes.
That's like her brother.
Yes, say it, honey.
Was it nasty? All right, so then who should Ryan be paired off with?
Oh, Lord.
Not Madison.
Jumping off a cliff, never to be found again.
No.
I like Ryan with Madison. Dude. I like Ryan with Madison. I like Ryan with Kendall, too.
I like Ryan with Kendall.
Yeah.
See, in my perfect world, Julian would get her heart back.
Yes, amen.
And you know,
she might as well be able to. I mean, if Jesse could come back after dying on the table in front of Angie, I don't see why.
Well,
but didn't that girl marry some rich man in real life?
Well, I don't know. I know she
ain't
back
trying
home.
To come back to no soaps.
Well, no, I read somewhere that they interview her and she said she's open to coming back to soaps.
Esther Terblanche.
Yes, Esther Terblanche. She went back to South Africa because that's where she's from. She got married, but they interviewed her.
She married some rich dude like my Jensen Buchanan. They said they ain't trying to come back and be paid $1,000 an episode.
Right,
for
but
this.
She said she's open to coming back, and I'm like, please snatch her up.
If they brought her back, the ratings would go through the roof.
Oh, we think so, but they brought back Katie McClain and messed it up. They bring back. I don't think bringing back is the answer anymore. They bring back all these people,
but
they don't know what they're doing when they bring these people back from the dead, and we hate them. We end up hating characters we once loved.
More with the cast of Daytime Covenant. And Pop Confidential as we continue here in Your Morning Jolt.
You were in college working part-time, waiting tables. Left a small town, never looked back. I was a flight risk with the fear of falling, wondering why we bother with love if it never lasts. And you figure out why I'm guarded. You say we'll never make my parents' mistakes.
That was dedicated to Luke Kerr, who loves himself some Taylor Swift.
I was asking Reagan about that when we were listening to it, and I thought I was saying to myself, that Larry's a sneaky bastard.
Well, because it's Taylor Swift's 21st birthday today, and I know you're baking her a cake, Luke Kerr.
Uh-huh.
I have a song for her.
Go ahead.
Just a second. I got to wait. I'm typing it up. I did it on Twitter the other day, but now I had to go find my tweets.
Well, while you look it up, while I tell everybody, this is the Morning Jolt on Sirius XM Al Q. I'm Larry Flick, and Keith is off today. He'll be back tomorrow, but we are spending some time with the folks from Pop Confidential and Daytime Confidential, two websites you should be reading every day. PopConfidential.com, DaytimeConfidential.com. They're both powered by ZapToIt.com. Get the podcast. You have never heard anything so fun, funny, and informative, insightful, passionate. These folks really, really feel it and live it, and I love these guys. We have Jillian Bowe here in New York City. We have Luke Kerr in Nebraska. He's wearing his Taylor Swift for President shirt. We have... We have Reagan Salura in Cleveland, and we have our songstress, the other Candy in Atlanta, Jamie Giddens.
How do you do?
Do you have your song ready yet now?
Yes, I do.
Go on, baby.
This is what she's going to sing when Jake eventually pops that and gets on with his life. Okay. You were my movie star, said we go so far. But yeah, you weren't the one when I was 21. Thought I'd have so much fun. But now my daddy, he is gonna get a gun to hunt down that bad old movie star. Cause yeah, I'm 21. I should've known. Cause Jake was already grown. But I was hot in the ass. And I wanted that. And I was 21.
And so, you know, I've been saying all along, Jamie, that she's been giving him anal so she can still say she's a virgin.
Oh, my God.
I got you with that one, Jillian,
God.
Didn't I?
Yes, she's Jesus.
She's been giving it up to Poop Shoop for that.
Oh, no. Why, Larry,
so
why?
You get to be a virgin? Okay, never mind.
Well, you know, we have this virginal image of Taylor Swift, and I love her. She's been on the show. We love her. We love her. We love her. I'm actually a fan of her records. But come on, that bitch has seen more dick than the urinal down the hall lately.
Jake Gyllenhaal is not playing patty cake with her. That's
no, and not, and let me tell you something. Neither was John Mayer. He was dirty Sanchezing that bitch.
John Mayer, she needed to go get herself tested for everything under the sun.
Okay, yeah. Come on now.
It's something with that whole butter wouldn't melt in my mouth thing she has going that just irks me.
I know, but you know, yeah. Having spent some time around her, it's real. It's real though,
no,
y'all.
Like, you know, and
because I've met her mother. Her mother looks at her like,
Yeah, like
Taylor, you better not be showing out.
No,
like it pissed me off to no end that Kanye West made her this martyr. I was like, damn it, Kanye, shut your dumb ass down.
But you know what? Ugh. She's having the last laugh. 1 million four copies.
Yeah.
Please, okay. Whatever. She made me sick.
Oh, get over yourself.
No.
Meanwhile, we're going to talk Pop Confidential this hour with Jillian, Jamie, Reagan, and Luke. And we need to get into some dirt because I've been like sitting here just salivating to get the four of you on the air so we could talk about Miley Cyrus hitting the bong!
See? I remember saying something on PC, on the Pop Confidential podcast, that her people need to rein her in before something like this happened.
Wait a minute. I wasn't smoking my spit. Y'all stop lying on me. Everybody on the internet is saying I'm smoking spit. That ain't
true.
Yeah,
I was like, what the hell is saliva? Whatever that is.
And I don't smoke my saliva. That's spit. I'm not stupid.
And, you know, and I told, you know, I said, you know, her parents really need to rein her in. And when Billy Ray Cyrus made that comment on Twitter saying it's beyond my control, I'm like, yeah, it is, you asshole, because you never...
Yeah, because she will put them out. Because Ache and Break Your Heart was 15 years ago. She
Thank
will put
you.
Them out.
You know
street.
What? You know why they can't rein her in? Because they work for her. They work for her.
Well, you know, you had a lot of child stars that their parents still kept a tight leash on them that didn't show out. I mean, let me see. Brandy.
They had jobs.
Brandy, come on now. Brandy.
Jessica Simpson's dad.
He wanted to put a rein in her.
The other day I was shocked when I read that they said that she's worth her. This year she had almost $1 billion in sales.
Jessica Simpson, yeah. Oh, yeah. And let me tell you something. I had them up here not too long ago. Girlfriend's looking good.
I like her.
She's looking good. I like Jessica. I like Jessica a lot. I think Jessica gets a really tough rap from people.
Her daddy is a creep, but I like her.
You know what, though? I've known Joe Simpson for many years. Yeah, he's a little skivot, but that's a smart dude. You know what? You could skivot. You could look at my titties, too, if you give me work me out.
No. He's branded the hell out of her.
Because you know who made her that nearly $1 billion? Him, because she's not that smart. She's just a nice girl.
Yeah. I think she got a bad rap because of that Nick Lachey bastard. I like Jessica.
Well, he got to be a bastard.
He's not a bastard.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
Why? Just because his dick hooks to the left?
No. Y'all remember watching that show, that trifling show they had?
Newlyweds.
Do you know that Vanessa was that girl's good friend, and now she married Nick?
Look at here. Bam Margera. They said Bam, whatever his name was, was plugging that before they got divorced.
Let me tell you something. That Vanessa Minnillo, she's rivaling Taylor Swift for seeing a lot of bone, okay? They're just, they should open up a urology clinic, those two.
Trifling happened.
Now, here's the thing, though. Is Miley Cyrus out of control, or is she just getting busted doing what everybody else is doing, but nobody else is getting filmed doing?
She's just getting busted.
I'm just glad she's smoking her own spit rather than crack. I mean, it could be worse. I mean, it could be Lindsay Lohan. It could be some crack.
You better stop. You know, Dina Lohan is so happy. That other train wreck.
Oh, please. That whore.
She just disgusts me to no end. Like,
please.
What was the last thing I remember?
Disney just kills me. Bless their heart. They try, but they just get these people. They try to make them the new Annette Funicello, and then they find out they're crack whores every time.
The Jonas Brothers are going to have to do something to get their careers back here pretty soon, so you can expect a long video from them.
Yeah,
because
when I saw Joe, they're going to be just butt fucking each other. I know Hot in Cleveland is hot for TV land, but when I saw him on there playing Valerie Bertinelli's son, I'm like, who is managing you?
The problem with all these Disney stars is that they sculpt these impossible to live with images.
Yeah.
When, 18-year-olds party. Yeah, you know, I was doing a lot worse than hitting a bong when I was 18. I hate to tell y'all, and I didn't fall off the rails, and I'm actually doing really well at 47.
Why don't these people have no texting, sexting, no video equipment, no phone parties? You know what I mean? Just have your friends over and have your teen orgy, but make sure that all cell phones are left in a bowl at the top of at the front of the room. I mean, that's what gets me. It's like, why y'all always taking pictures of everything?
Well,
who are y'all?
It's the new generation. It's, you know, you're just showing your age, Jamie, like me.
They're just stupid.
You're just an old hag.
The little fast girl that goes with Zac Efron. You know, she's showing her little kitty cat all over the place. It's like, stop taking pictures of your kitty cat. It's there. It's not going anywhere.
Miley should know better. She should know that all her friends should have their phones down and not be taking any pictures of her ass.
But let me ask y'all this. Is any of this on purpose?
I think some of
it wouldn't surprise me.
I think some of it is because when Disney puts you in that bubble, it is hard to shake off. That's why when people, like, you know, we are talking about this with Miley. That's why when this happens with Miley, people are so shocked and disgruntled.
See, I think. How else is she going to get those out of really, that mold? Those really, yeah. She doesn't even want to sing anymore. She wants to be an actor. So the only way she's going to get those really good roles is if people stop thinking that her vagina is sewn up and that she doesn't have any intensity.
Yeah.
So
it's like, and it's not just Disney. I mean, we saw this with Jessica Biel when she was on Seventh Heaven, and next thing you know, she's showing her Cookie Monster and Maxim almost.
Oh my God! Remember when she was squatting on the sink? You know, come on, does anyone else remember that? Jim Kelly is looking at me like I'm crazy.
What are you talking about?
There's some things we just don't want to remember, Larry.
She's squatting on the sink thinking of Justin. Anyway, go on.
Yeah.
Talking to the folks at popconfidential.com. Our toll-free number is 866-305-6887. It's 18 past the hour. I'm Larry Flick, Julian Bowe in New York. We have Luke Kerr in Nebraska, Regan Salura in Ohio, and Jamie Giddens in Atlanta, and we're just kind of going through it all. Okay, so at the box office this weekend, The Chronicles of Narnia, The Voyage of Don Trieter opened, and it was number one, $24.5 million, but considered a disappointment, considering it was made for $150 million. Now, I have to tell you, This is like the most poorly marketed movie of the season. I didn't even know it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
They were a little
crap.
Bit late on the ball.
Meanwhile, The Tourist was number two, $17 million. People are universally yawning at this movie and talking about how – so who was it? Someone said to me it looked like Angelina Jolie was having Xanax attacks throughout the entire movie.
Anyway, I don't care. I'm still going to go watch it.
You're still going to go see it? Now, why are you going to go see it? Why are you going to go see it?
Well, because they have Angelina Jolie and Johnny Depp, and I refuse to believe until I've seen it myself that it can actually be that bad.
I mean, it looks bad. What do you think, Jolene?
I'm going to see it. It looks, you know, it looks, it's not my cup of tea, but I'm going to see it.
Really?
Viva
really?
Angelina.
Meanwhile, Tangled, number three, $14.6 million. Now, which one of you said you saw it on the podcast? I think it was you, Luke, right?
Yes, both watched it. It was good. It was really good.
Now, Luke, that makes me sad, Luke.
Okay, listen, I'm going to be going to the Chronicles of Narnia. I'm going to be watching the new Angelina Jolie movie. This is the holiday movie season. If it's big and it has a lot of good stuff going on, I'll be going to it.
All right.
That ain't a Christmas movie. It ain't got nothing to do with the Grinch.
I said holiday.
You
holiday.
Said holiday. That ain't got nothing to do with the
well,
Grinch.
Well, just, you know, they're just
Hanukkah. Getting Thanksgiving through Christmas, all the big holidays.
All the big fluffy movies come out. All right, number four was Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, part one, 8 million, 0.5 million.
No.
And only Luke has seen that.
Of course I have.
Of course you have. Number five was Unstoppable. That was the Denzel movie. Why is Denzel making the same movie over and over again? Wasn't this movie called Training Day? Wasn't this movie called Training Day? What was that, Luke?
It was called John Q, except he had to stop the people from killing his little boy instead of the train.
Well, and then he wasn't Pelham 1-2-3, a train movie that he just did like 2 years ago?
Remember when Denzel was hot, too? Now he looks like he's starting to look a little bit like... What? You think he's hot still?
I think he still got it, Lee.
Would
Denzel.
He get it? He would get it from you, wouldn't
hell
he?
Hell yeah, he would. That is
really?
Denzel. Yes, you please believe
would he get it.
It
from you? Would he get it from you, Jamie? He would, wouldn't he?
No.
I think he's starting to look like James Evans from Good Times.
No!
What's going
Stop!
On?
No.
He's a brilliant actor, but he's wasting his talent.
Ugh.
I want to see Denzel do a gritty family drama. I'm tired of him saving the universe in 2 hours.
I loved him in American Gangster. Loved
Did
him.
You?
Oh,
Did
yes.
You? I mean, for me, it was all about my
I think people like
him,
Denzel
X.
could save the black family drama from Tyler Perry. You know, give us something. He does that on Broadway. He does those plays.
Yeah.
So I'm like, do something like that on the big screen. We know you can do action. We know Hollywood lets black men do action. But, like, do a drama. Do a, like, Revolutionary Road with Angelina Bassett. I mean, not Lord Angelina Bassett. Angela Bassett. I want to see something like that. Not these. I mean, I'm tired of him and Will Smith saving the universe.
I'm just tired
for
of
yourself.
Will Smith.
I like watching Will Smith save the universe as many times as he wants.
Well, as long as we don't have to look at his kids anymore.
I like independent artsy stuff sometimes.
All right, so now who saw Love and Other Drugs?
I did.
Now, did you? Because I saw it and I loved it. Did
you
love it?
Yes, I loved it. That's my kind of movie.
And mine, too. It's like 70s style talkie movie.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Zwick is a master of that, don't you think?
Yeah, I half expected to see Barbara Streisand come around going, hubble. But, yeah, it
but now,
was good.
So now, Regan, you're very quiet. Are you not a movie girl? Have you not seen these movies?
I am. I just haven't had time to go see any of them.
Now, I can imagine you going to see Love and Other Drugs, Regan.
I want to really badly.
It's
but
really good. You get to see lots of titty, too, which is
nice. I heard my aunts went and saw it, and they said they're naked all the whole movie.
They are. They're naked. Just naked as they came in the
just,
world.
Just rubbing. Just friction.
And my roommate's a huge Harry Potter fan, and she said this was her favorite. Her favorite one.
I hear
yet.
It's good. I almost want to see it.
No.
Not quite.
The next one will be better.
Will it? All right. So what about, okay, who's seen Burlesque other than me?
Crickets.
No.
No.
It is the worst. Good. Good.
Well, it hasn't even broke. It, has,
it,
it didn't
is
even break
It is the worst
yeah.
movie of the year.
It looks like a giant. It looks like a giant.
It is the worst movie of the year. So bad. Oh, my God.
So how is Christina's acting in it? Is she good?
Terrible.
Mm.
And all you do is think about how she, for this multi-million-dollar movie, couldn't they afford a nice wig for this bitch? She's wearing, like...
She looks odd. Like, I don't want to see it because she looks odd.
Okay, so now
no
question.
Makeup.
Question. Christina Aguilera.
They look like Who's from Whoville, yeah. All of them.
But Christina, okay, so Christina Aguilera, I want to go around the table. Is she eaten through divorce, or is she infanticipating?
Oh, with the kind of being a little round.
Y'all need to look at her online from this weekend in Britain. That bitch is puffy.
She's probably pregnant. Everybody's pregnant in Hollywood. If they're not, they're going to Africa to get a baby.
Hmm. But who's the baby daddy?
Cameraman or that?
Yeah,
what was he like?
Some status.
A key grip. If you really wanted to bag some Hollywood tail, you just need to go get a job on the crew, because these women.
You know what's so funny with her, though? She clowned Britney Spears when she married Kevin Federline. She totally dissed that girl. Ooh, she married her backup dancer, blah, blah, blah. But you messing with the dude who, like, does
craft services.
Yeah, she parks a car or something.
But this is after she makes a record about how good her husband's dick is. I can't, it ain't that good.
She's somebody who needs to
sit
somewhere.
That boy was homely, bless his heart. You know, in the South, we cancel out all insults with bless his heart. But her husband wasn't that cute, but you know.
She not that cute. That's why I say I can't really watch Burlesque, because with her glam down without the make, you know, she's overly made up. She looks odd with less makeup on, you know what I mean?
She looks like that little girl from The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. Glammed down. She looks like a cartoon.
She just looks, ooh.
It's just, honestly, I can't, I sat and listened to her sing the same song over and over. Anyway, moving on. Let's talk about what's happening on TV. Who's still loving what? Reagan, what are you loving on TV these days?
What's she killing these days?
I'm still loving Friday Night Lights.
You mean what's she killing these days?
That's right. You are the show killer, aren't you?
I am not.
You're the Rena Sofer of Pop Confidential.
Oh, God.
And I heard what you said last week, Jamie. They told me yesterday that I was off killing shows.
You were off killing shows.
Okay, first of all, Reagan, you know.
And you know that's what I thought, too.
Reagan, come on now. You know you're part of the family if we give you a nickname now.
If Reagan Solar is watching the show, you better move on to something else. Take it up
like
your TiVo.
Modern Family, Reagan, do you like Modern Family?
Yes, I love it.
Oh,
well, there you go.
Yeah.
You started watching it late, though, right?
Yeah.
All right, so it got its pickup already, so it's safe.
Yeah, safe.
It's been inoculated from Reagan Salura.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Praise Jesus.
Now, I have to be honest with you. I love Friday Night Lights. I haven't been watching it this season.
Well, it's not on. If you don't have DirecTV, you can't watch it yet.
I have DirecTV.
Oh, I just have a very, very nice fan of our site name. I think his Twitter name is Walker 2 or Walkster 2, but his real name, I believe, is Gary.
Yeah.
Who's been hooking me up, so I've been able to watch them, and I'm just in heaven watching them. It's been a great final season. I mean, they aren't holding back at all. So
okay, now I've got something to talk about in with regard to the last Pop Confidential podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to congratulate Jamie Giddens and Luke Kerr for having the most intense, serious conversation about something as ridiculous as Gossip Girl. You would have thought
watching
Face the Fucking Nation with these two bitches.
My face.
At one point, Jillian. Did it not sound like they were getting really mad at each other over this?
Yes, I was like, because at one point I'm like,
these two whores are like losing it over a Gossip Girl.
I put myself on mute. I'm going to tell you what I did. When they were doing it, I put myself on mute. I'm like, the fuck are these two motherfuckers talking about?
Over Gossip Girl!
I'm like, because it's like Greek when they talk about Gossip Girl. And me, I'm like,
over.
Yes, it was.
We got more hated than we did about Sarah Palin.
Yes!
You know, it's like, forget about unemployment in America. Let's talk about blondes on Gossip Girl.
Luke was like, I hate Serena. And Jamie was like, motherfucker! I was like, oh my God, are you serious?
Did you hear that? And then when they started to throw down about, what was it, Beverly Hills? I thought, you know what?
Yes.
Y'all going to make me hit the fast forward button soon if you do this again.
I'm like, oh my God. Jamie sounded like he's about to get his switchblade. Luke sounded like he's about to get his brass knuckle. Yeah, no bullshit.
So wait. Conspicuously silent, Luke Kerr.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm just listening. It's fun to hear people's reaction to our discussions. I'm a Blair fan. I readily admit it, but I still think
I'm a Blair fan too.
There's a point to be made that Sarita's stories are the same thing over and over and over, and it just gets tiresome.
Well, and my point is, and it will always be, that Sarita is the heiress of the primetime soap. She is Val from Knots Landing. She is Crystal from Dynasty. They always have to have a strikingly beautiful blonde who is. You won't even watch the show. So how you know?
I don't know, but Crystal had balls.
She is that blonde, tragic heroine that we all must love and aspire to be in our lives. That is the tentpole of Prime Time.
See, now I actually agree with both of you. Because I agree with what you're saying right now, Luke, but Jamie, but I also agree with Luke. It's like, okay, can we have a different story for Sarita? It's just, that's honestly why I stopped watching Gossip Girl, because I thought, well, I've already seen this show.
This Juliet story was not like all the others. It was the
problem. How?
Because Juliet, the villain, was great. She was, and then all of the manipulation, the three, it was like Superman. The three super bitches, like the three, what was them people, General Zod, the three super villains came together to bring down Sarita. And they planned this elaborate thing, and it was threaded so marvelously through the entire season with the Juliet.
We just need to stop there. The fact that you called Vanessa a super villain is a testament to the fact that you are off base. Vanessa,
you don't like Vanessa. You don't ever. Luke don't ever like. No, look, I'm not gonna go.
I will agree with him on that. I hate Vanessa.
I like Vanessa. All right, she's a little. The actress is not exactly what she should have been, but I wouldn't have cast her. But they all had viable beef against Sarita. They all came together. It brought back little Jenny, who I love, despite her being a train wreck in real life. You know, she's the Shannon Doherty of this generation. You know, the best thing about the show, but she just can't keep her little mouth shut.
Can I just say that all the actors on these shows are one step away from Cinemax softcore porn? I mean, y'all are talking about them as if it's Nicole Kidman and Meryl Streep. It's like these bitches really.
Well, Nicole Kidman is the most overrated actress in Hollywood.
Don't you be coming for my Nicole! How dare you!
She ruined Bewitched. I don't forgive her.
How dare you come for my Nicole! Now that you're going to be with you, I'm going to take my earrings off in a second.
Bewitched, I tell you.
That movie should have never been made in the first place. At least she looked like the character. But y'all are talking about Gossip Girl like like it's Shakespeare. I'm thinking, how soon until these people start doing porn?
Blake Lively is a great actress. Actress. If you saw her in Pippa Lee with my Kelly Capwell, Robin Wright, she was wonderful.
Oh, please. You know what? You know what the smartest thing Robin Wright ever did? You know what the smartest role that Robin Wright ever played? The faked orgasm she did under Sean Penn all those years that he put her in all those movies. Okay?
Because
that bitch ain't famous for being a good actor. She's famous, and she's not a good actor. She's famous for taking the high hard one from Sean Penn.
She was famous before that because she was famous in The Princess Bride and Forrest Gump.
I like that movie.
Oh,
yes.
My God.
I love it.
Do you
have she married, had she got with, started having babies by Sean Penn when she did Forrest Gump?
Yeah, I think so.
Well.
I'll allow it.
But she's still a good actress. She's better than that tired Nicole Kidman.
Oh, amen.
Don't even. Don't even.
Nicole,
I love you, Kelly
Capwell.
Ooh. Yeah, meanwhile, they're all more talented than the cast of Gossip Girl.
Leighton Meester, and I'm going to have to cut for her because Luke acting like I'm not a Blair fan. It's not like either or. I love Blair, too. But Leighton Meester is going to be a star. And so is Blair.
When? That Gossip Girl's like a bad... That Gossip Girl's is like the fruitcake you get at Christmas time. It's just becoming a doorstop
now. They'll be on Lifetime movies any day now. Maybe Penn Bagley and the British one might do something, but Chase Crawford,
They all need to be hiding because Tori Spelling is about to take them all out for taking her future work.
Tori Spelling is going to be on ABC Daytime if they could ever get her a show together.
Honey, if they could ever get a meal in her.
Yes,
and maybe get that weird thing that's going on her breast, on her chest.
Yes.
Going on.
You know
they
she can.
No, they no. She was up here a month ago. Let me tell you
is
something.
Is it bad again?
Honestly,
fixed.
She looks like she's being cast in the Rogue Company of Alien or something.
I can't even watch any reruns of the entire last 2 years of 90210 because of that wonky titty.
You can't watch Oda Joy? When her and David get hitched?
I can't because her titty was just so wonky those last couple
years. The two of them,
like,
I watched her reality show, and she was doing something at her at the B&B.
And that weird thing is sticking out?
You know, she was like, let me show you guys a trick. Why did she pick up a bottle of wine with her boobs?
How are you going to be Aaron Spelling's daughter and you get some wonky titties? You ought to be able to afford grade A titties. That don't make no sense.
I don't get it. Her
breasts
are weird.
Well, because they probably the check didn't clear. She didn't, you know.
You know that check
she got
bounce.
Them on discount. You don't get your titties on discount.
The
that's one thing you buy, you pay for.
Yes.
You pay full price
there
for them, those titties.
Exactly.
What do you think, Luke? Luke is quiet again.
Luke, what do you think about those titties?
I have no comment.
Luke, say titties.
No.
He's such a prude. But they're going to say something fresh to me. But
look
did you say
at me,
no.
I'm Lucas D.
Oh, my
Luke
gosh.
Luke could be fresh. Remember
well,
when he thought I said tacos instead of fresh?
Well, it's 35 past the hour. It's your morning jolt here. I've lost control of the room, but that's okay because we're having fun with the cast of Pop Confidential, Daytime Confidential. Luke Kerr in Nebraska, Jamie Giddens in Atlanta, Regis Lerer in Ohio, and Jillian Bowe here in New York. And we're just going through the whole list. Okay, so now, who's excited to know that Lady Gaga has been named Artist of the Year by Billboard Magazine, my alma mater? Wow. Wow. Jillian's rolling
Jamie's
her
not
eyes.
A fan.
Are you a fan, Luke?
I do enjoy Lady Gaga, yes.
Yeah, we can tell when he said the announcement, you sounded all verklempt.
Well, I was just waiting for Jamie to take and have his moment in the sun.
Oh, please. Whatever Luke's excited, he does that. Woohoo! You didn't even do a woo.
Luke is admitting to liking Lady Gaga like a politician does to smoking blow. Yes, I did engage.
Yeah.
He's trying to stay get dignified.
Pardon me?
He's trying to keep dignified.
Oh, God.
Well, hey, I readily admit I have her CDs. I've watched more than a couple of her YouTube videos. Hey, but I enjoy her songs. What more can you say?
You know you being there trying to do poker face. Stop playing.
Oh, yeah, that's me.
Katy Perry is robbed every day because of this girl.
Now, wait a second.
I agree
now,
with
wait,
that.
Now, wait. Have any of y'all seen Katy Perry try to sing live?
No, yeah, I've heard it's
that
not
bitch,
that good.
Well, that bitch can't sing
me.
Live.
I saw no.
Well, even with the bad vocals, or even with the bad video on her performance with Darren Criss, you could see that he was outperforming her when they sang the same song together.
Oh,
and this damn Darren Criss.
That would work.
Oh, please. No, I saw her on Ellen last week. And yeah, it shocked me.
She cannot sing live.
Oh, Katie, y'all hurting me now.
Yeah, it shocked me.
She can't sing live.
That's my girl.
She's a nice girl. She's been on this show a couple times. Really funny, really sweet. Bitch can't sing.
I'll tell you who.
She's a studio concoction.
Wonderful. You know what, Larry? You can weigh in on a conversation me and Jillian had.
Okay.
Because I was starting, you know, I didn't like Nicki Minaj at first because I was like, who is this girl everywhere? I was like, who is Nicki Minaj a twat? But then I started liking her, okay?
Yeah.
She started kind of, you know, I was like, okay, I like this little girl.
Okay.
Then I saw her VH1 special. Why is she trying to act like a diva and she hadn't even dropped her album yet? And she yelling at folks and talking about her cranberries and almonds. I was just disgusted and appalled.
Well,
you have to earn divadom.
Well, here's the thing about I think Nicki Minaj is really talented. Her album Pink Friday, amazing. The thing is that before she put that first album out, she sold a million records for about 7 other artists by appearing on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like her until I saw that special, and I saw how hard she worked and that she worked, like, she didn't keep those crazy 3 a.m. studio hours that she
treated it like a real job and went 9 to 5, and that, you know, everything, just how professional she was all about it, and I kind of had a different respect for her. See, I didn't really take her as a diva.
See, I don't think anybody needs to be acting the diva except me, but I. but the thing about Nicki Minaj, though, is that she's money in the bank, and I think that what happens is if you've been struggling and then suddenly you become money in the bank. I remember very, very clearly one time I got to interview Joan Rivers, and she said this. She said this a bunch of times where she said, you know, when you've been struggling and treated like shit, when you suddenly are not treated like shit, that Diet Coke in your dressing room becomes the most important part of your day.
Mm-hmm. I kind of got a different respect for her when she was like, you know, what about that song I'm working for so-and-so and the one for Drake and the one for Rihanna and, you know, like, she had, like, so much work going on that,
she's,
you know,
money in the bank.
Yeah.
I agree. And, you know, I am a fan, but I'm looking at it and I'm going, she's acting like Madonna in Truth or Dare, and she's just now coming out. And I'm like, what is she going to be like in 10 years if she's already?
Well, that's true. I mean, and the thing is, it's all instant right now. Pop stars are, you know, music is what I do more than anything else. And right now, nobody's working for it longer than one or two records. I mean, everyone's calling Lady Gaga the queen of pop. How about this, Lady Gaga? Make a second full-length album, and then we'll talk, okay? Because right now, you made one record and an EP. Slow down, meat dress girl.
You know she is biting off of Crystal Waters. Yabba dabba doo, yabba dabba doo.
Yes.
And I like Lady Gaga, you know? I was playing Lady Gaga when she was making her own dresses before her wigs were her art. Remember that? God.
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
Elton John told me to tell her, you biting.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to continue with the cast of Pop Confidential here on Your Morning Jolt. Well, good morning to you. It's a little Kylie Minogue to get you charged up on this Monday morning. I'm Larry Flick, and this is your Morning Jolt on Sirius XM Al Q. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We've been spending some time with my very good pals from Pop Confidential and Daytime Confidential. Add a .com to either of those phrases and check out their websites. So good, so essential to your daily web browsing if you enjoy things pop cultural or if you really like daytime drama like I do. They have podcasts that you really need to hear. They're fun, they're insightful, they're informative, and they're a little crazy, as you can tell, because we've been spending time with Jillian Bo here in our New York studio. We have Luke Kerr from Nebraska, Jamie Giddens from Atlanta, and Reagan Salura from Ohio. And they're actually going to reconvene with us in a couple weeks and wrap up the year that was, which is why we're just kind of jawing on today, because I love just hearing what they think about various and sundry things. So what about the holiday season? I want to hear from each of you. Are you most looking forward to, pop culturally speaking? Let's start with Reagan.
Oh, gosh. I think a lot of the holiday episodes have already aired. I always like them, see what some of the shows do. Glee was good. I really liked Glee's holiday episode.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I like the holidays. I love my family. We're real close. And so just anything holiday-wise, it always gets me.
We don't really get those great special holiday episodes of shows like we used to, though, do we?
No.
Oh, Brothers and Sisters had a good one last night.
Brothers and Sisters?
Yeah, it had a really good holiday episode last night.
What
thoroughly
happened?
Enjoyed it.
What happened?
Well, needless to say, the kids are fighting over who is going to host Christmas.
Okay.
And so it basically became a battle between Kitty and Kevin, and they're two of my favorite characters on the show, so watching them duke it out was fun.
All right. What about you, Jamie?
Well, there's always naked ice skating in Rockefeller Center that brings out the Yuletide season, the spirit of the Yuletide season and what it's really about for me. But other than that, I enjoyed Brothers and Sisters also. I'm a big holiday geek. I've been watching Holiday Inn and White Christmas, and on AMC they've been airing those, and even like Hallmark movies that I really don't like, if there's a Christmas theme to it, I'll watch, you know, Candace Cameron Find Love with Mark Paul Gosselaar if I have to, as long as there's the hope of the season. You know, I'm a big Christmas person. I got drunk last night with some eggnog, the other night,
yeah.
And put up my tree. And
sorry.
Yeah, you know, we Southerners, we, look at here,
no.
Hater. Hater Asian, always. Hater alert.
sorry tree.
The hater alert.
It's a sorry little tree.
It is a sorry
ass
tree.
Bam. Reagan said so too.
Stuff is sorry.
Reagan said it too.
Anyway, yes, I was drinking my eggnog and eating my sugar cookies with Santa's face on it. And yes, it is that time of the year.
You know,
if you were a Clevelander, you'd be drinking your Great Lakes Brewery Christmas Ale.
You be quiet. You dissed my tree, you show
cinnamon
killer.
Cinnamon and sugar rim. Oh, it's delicious.
See, I was, oh my gosh, they're getting intense up here, Jillian. But you know, I was going to say, I really like, you know, this year more than any other, I'm watching all those ridiculous Hallmark movies too. Mm. That Doris Roberts movie, Call Me Mrs. Miracle. I was crying like a fool.
Oh God, you guys!
I tried to watch the stupid one that ABC Family had on last night. I couldn't do it.
I missed that one
with Christina Milian.
Yeah,
I was tired. I'm sorry. Sorry, Christina. I was tired. You know, it was good though. And actually, I thought about you, Luke. The one that aired on Lifetime this week with Alyssa Milano. I don't know why I thought of you. I just
imagined, and why did you think of me? Because of Alyssa Milano.
I guess because I imagine you really enjoying Alyssa Milano.
I enjoy Charmed, but okay.
Rebecca Budding probably went out for that role and lost it.
Well, we've already established that Luke does not like the blonde girls, so.
No, he doesn't.
Hey, I like Sharon on Y&R.
Natural blondes like me really offended all of Luke's hatred on us.
It's hard, right? Because you brush your luxurious long blonde hair.
Exactly. People don't understand the stigma that we go through.
He likes Moral West, Jamie, so be
Wait, you're right, Jillian. Lord help in the day, but Jesus.
And Marcy Riley.
You see why Moral West ain't got no storyline, right? Mm-hmm. Luke is a character killer. Cockbum.
Oh, my God. So you're the character killer, and Reagan is a show killer.
That's right. They're the dynamic
duo. It depends on which show it's on, considering Jillian's favorites get killed off.
Luke likes Rebecca Budding, and she owns 7 days a week on All My Children, so
that's
he must
true.
Be good for
he
characters
killed,
that he likes.
He killed the depths of that character. She used to be quirky.
Oh, my God.
Bam.
Well, Luke, I don't want you to like nothing about Christmas. Next thing I know, Santa Claus got his legs.
Did you watch the Family Guy Christmas episode? It was fantastic.
The way they ripped Christmas apart and then brought it all together
at the end. It was so good.
Oh,
that's
dear.
Ungodly.
No, I need my Mr. Magoo Christmas. Don't even. What are you doing?
It's in the Bible that
Santa Claus came down on a star, and I'm not going to listen to all that ungodliness, Luke, that Family Guy perpetuates. Y'all need to pray and drink eggnog.
I don't really. What is the deal with Family Guy? I don't get it.
I don't get that show either.
I tried.
I don't do animation as a rule unless it's Bugs
Bunny.
It's
a bunch of nerdy, angry
people. I like The
people.
Simpsons. I don't.
A bunch of nerdy, angry people who are too ugly to get live action shows.
Yes, they've taken over the pop culture. These nerdy, angry little boys that just want to make ugly little cartoons that I don't
understand. And yet we're going to have the last laugh. We have big blockbuster movies, great television shows, great books.
Well, you're mad.
And we invented Google and the iPad, so there.
And now you're taking over WikiLeaks and, like, sagging it. It's like, it's not our fault that you wore retainers.
Oh, my gosh. Now, this is why y'all need to subscribe to Daytime Confidential Podcast and Pop Confidential Podcast, because this is what it's like. This, I've, y'all made my, my day easier. I just let y'all loose this time. I think they're used to being on the radio all. Well, thank you, guys. Luke, Reagan, Jamie, Jillian. They're going to be with us again in a couple weeks to wrap up the year. And then, actually, they're going to be in studio in January.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm a little excited about that. So, so thank you all for spending time with us, and thank you for joining us today. Have a great day. Now, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.